Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Faber and Nigel Show. In for Chad Benson. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423. At Chad Benson Show. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. And Hammer has a story here about a certain Hollywood actor going to possibly play a very well-known and famous president of the United States.
When I saw this story break last night, Nige, I texted you immediately and I said, we need to talk about this early because this is fantastic. According to the New York Post and Page Six, so take it for what you will, there's your source. But they're reporting that Nicolas Cage is in talks to play the role of Ronald Reagan in an upcoming biopic about the former president's life. So let me repeat that, because I think that bears repeating. Nicolas Cage may be playing the role of Ronald Reagan. Your thoughts?
I think it's fantastic. I'm a Nicolas Cage fan. His work as of late is a little like this, but he's had some financial troubles. Nicolas Cage at one point, I think, was addicted to buying castles. So when you buy castles, across Europe and the United States, like seven of them, you're eventually going to run out of money. And he's had some troubles with taxes and the IRS. So the quality, he's had to accept roles that maybe, you know, you wouldn't accept if you're like a George Clooney or Brad Pitt. And several of these roles that he's accepted go, you know, straight to iTunes.
Right. The non-theater variety.
I like getting on iTunes on the movie trailers. I love watching movie trailers. But when I see, a poster for a movie and it says available same day on iTunes as it is in theaters,
you might as well just put a big picture of a piece of crap on the screen, because that's what it is.
Now, look, I mean, there's something to be said, you know. There's series and certain movies and series that are on Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff. The level of work, the bar has been raised as far as, you know, straight to video on demand type of thing. But Nick Cage is Ronald Reagan. Well, what does he say?
He's in discussions. From what the New York Post is reporting, he may have some reservations about playing the role. The article states that the $25 million film, which right there tells you the budget, $25 million, that doesn't sound like a lot of money to me.
Well, for a big budget action CGI thriller, no, that doesn't sound like a lot, but maybe some sort of biopic drama. That's a decent number, I'd think.
$25 million film is reportedly expected to span Reagan's life, going from his teenage years to his time in Hollywood all the way up to the presidency. Again, I have nothing against Nick Cage. I've enjoyed some Nick Cage movies in my time, but I just can't see him playing the role of Ronald Reagan. Somebody told me earlier that Tim Matheson played a great Ronald Reagan, and I think some sort of Netflix show. I never saw it, but I could see that. I could even see, like, Michael Douglas. He played the president in a movie before, taking on that Reagan-esque role. But
he didn't play a specific – I think he played a fictional president, didn't
right,
he?
Right, a president.
Right. But, Tim Matheson kind of has that look, although I can't get him out of my head as far as Animal House is concerned. Animal House.
You screwed up. You trusted us.
It wasn't screwed up. That wasn't the real line in the movie, was it?
No, that's the little radio edit version.
Sorry
right
about
there.
That. Well, what's your favorite Nick Cage movie?
Man.
Because I could talk. Like, Kick-Ass in 2010 was really good.
He really wasn't the star of that one, though.
No, the little girl was, but it was a great movie. I'm just talking about good movies that he's been in. Ghost Rider, probably his worst. Hated Ghost Rider. I remember sitting in my living room in, like, 2007 watching this. And this was back when Netflix wasn't streaming yet, and they just would send you DVDs. And I remember being really pissed because I wasted my one DVD. It was really cheap and only got a couple DVDs a month.
Right.
I was insanely mad that I wasted it on a Ghost Rider. One of the worst movies I've
ever seen. So when you're watching Ghost Rider, Nigel, and you see a flaming, flying motorcycle, does that scream Ronald Reagan to you?
No, it doesn't. No.
Con Air, probably. I know it's cheesy. I know it's over the top, and there's some horrific bad lines in that movie, but I will always watch Con Air when it's on.
There's a couple of ones that may be underrated here. Lord of War, where he plays the arms dealer. Great, unbelievable movie. And then Adaptation in 2002.
Leaving Las Wonderful Vegas movie. Was phenomenal. Leaving Las Vegas, and I know this sounds bad, and maybe this makes me a bad guy. It makes me want to go to Las Vegas and drink heavily. Is that bad?
Yeah, it was a depressing movie for sure. And Phil had a good theory on Leaving Las Vegas. Right, Phil? What's your...
I wanted him to die within the first 10 minutes of that movie. How can anyone drink that much?
I wanted him to die in the first 10 minutes. Well, it's depressing because if you're a heavy drinker and you watch that movie, it could be like looking in the mirror. Look at what my life could become.
Don't forget, too, Nicolas Cage had signed on to be Superman in a movie.
Oh, you got it. Did we tweet that picture out?
Yep. It's on our Twitter right now. If you go to our Twitter handle, at Hammer and Nigel, a Superman movie never got released, never got made, but it was in production. And there are some great photos of Nicolas Cage in his Superman gear.
That photo of Nicolas Cage in the Superman gear is pretty horrific. That is something I can't unsee. All right, we have the most, what Hammer thinks anyway, is the most underrated soundbite of 2016. You have not shown this to me yet. I don't know what this is.
So
what are we doing here?
All week long, we've been kind of doing some year in review stuff. We're filling in for Chad. It's the last week of the year, so it's topical to look back. And throughout the week, you've heard some great moments of big events. But to me, this is the single most underrated soundbite. I laugh hysterically every time I hear this.
All right.
It's during the presidential campaign. This is when Jeb Bush's run is starting to slowly go down the toilet. He's speaking to a small crowd because that's all he could gather, and he has to beg them to clap at the end of his speech.
No, that's right.
I will be a commander-in-chief that will have the back of the military. I won't trash talk. I won't be a divider-in-chief or an agitator-in-chief. I won't be out there blowharding, talking a big game without backing it up. I think the next president needs to be a lot quieter, but send a signal that we're prepared to act in the national security interests of this country to get back in the business of creating a more peaceful world. Please clap.
There it is. The most underrated clip of 2016, it's right there.
What did he say? Did he say blow harden? What did he say? What was that?
I won't be a divider in chief or an agitator in chief. I won't be out there blow harden.
That's almost as funny as asking people to clap. I've never heard that before.
I won't be out there blow harden.
And by the way, what he's describing there, who he's going to be, is the complete opposite of what's going to be in the White House in terms of speaking, you know, silently but carrying a big stick.
Peyton Manning donated money to the Jeb Bush presidency.
He did?
Peyton Manning was a Jeb Bush supporter. And at the end of the day, your guy is begging people to clap.
What happened? Why was Jeb Bush basically left off the stage?
A combination of no backbone and Donald Trump single-handedly picked people off. When he focused on somebody and decided, okay, you're my biatch, you became his biatch.
And there's had to be some element, Hammer, of his last name.
Well, sure.
Right? I mean, oh, God.
But if you look at the other side, I mean, it could have been another Bush versus Clinton election. So I don't know if the last name had so much to do with it, but it was Jeb. And everything about him is just so Jeb.
I won't be out there blowharden.
What does that mean? He won't be a blowhard, but he turned it into a
blowharden.
That's great.
It's very Jeb of Jeb Bush. All That's
right.
what it is.
Coming up next, there's some bowl games tonight, right? We've got some bowl games.
Yeah, only gambling degenerates get into the bowl games that are on right now. Lucky for you guys, I am a gambling degenerate. So we've got Indiana versus Utah tonight in the Foster Farms Bowl.
Who's favored in that one?
I believe Utah is 5.5-point favorite in that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's this story about how these athletes, these quarterbacks, for some of these meaningless bowl games, are sitting out, right?
Right. Yeah, Leonard Fournette of LSU, McCaffrey of Stanford, okay. They've decided they've played enough college football. It's time to get ready for the NFL.
All right, I want to see. I want to get your thoughts on that. Plus, an update on the kids causing a ruckus at the mall story. That's next. The Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel, in for Chad Benson, at Chad Benson Show, the Twitter handle. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. So there is a college bowl game on tonight, correct?
The Foster Farms Bowl, Indiana against Utah.
What's Foster Farms? What is that?
Some sort of sponsor. I don't know what they do, but every one of these bowl games has some sort of sponsor tie into it now. It's no longer just the Fiesta Bowl the Orange Bowl.
It's a poultry company.
Okay.
They make chickens.
Well, they're going to make some good football later on. It's always going to be a dream matchup when the football program of Indiana is involved against the Utes of Utah.
And Indiana coaching under a brand new head coach that got thrust into the position unexpectedly a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, about a month ago, Indiana fired their coach because he was being too mean to the players. That's a discussion in its own. That's its own discussion.
Wow.
But we were kind of talking about before we went into break. You're seeing a trend of college football players that are at the top of their game, guys that are going to the NFL draft, guys that will probably be drafted high, skipping out on all of these bowl games because they don't want to get hurt.
So these are quality players playing in crappy, meaningless games that only benefit the school and the sponsor, basically,
exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Exactly right. And people saw what happened last year with Notre Dame. Notre Dame was playing Ohio State in a game that was not in the Final Four, not part of the national championship picture. It was a bowl game, but it wasn't one that actually mattered. And linebacker Jalen Smith, who was scheduled to be one of the top five players taken in that year's NFL draft, had a gruesome, nasty knee injury.
Oh, that's right.
And that affected his draft status. Now, the Dallas Cowboys kind of shocked everybody, and they took a flyer on him, you know, in the first couple rounds of the draft. But many people thought, you know, he'd go later in the draft when he easily would have been a top five pick.
So who are the names? I know you mentioned them earlier, some of the names that are of players that are sitting out these bowl games.
Leonard Fournette of LSU, one of the best running backs in the country, will not be playing in his bowl game. He's focusing on working out for the NFL draft. And Christian McCaffrey of Stanford, kind of their Mr. Everything, little slot receiver, running back, does everything you want. He also is skipping Stanford's bowl game to work out for the NFL. And if I'm these guys, I am all in on that. I agree 100%. Because at the end of the day, you go to college for what? You go to try to get ready for your profession, right?
Right.
You get an education, and you get that education to get you ready to be a member of the workforce. If your workforce is playing on Sunday in front of 64, 65,000 people, then you're absolutely doing the right thing right here.
But what you could also increase your stock, too. What if that guy, that running back, rushes for 250 yards in the game? You could up your stock by several millions of dollars in the NFL draft.
I think the guys that are skipping have already solidified their spots. I don't think you need to see anything more from Leonard Fournette or McCaffrey to know, wow, I didn't know they had that extra gear in them. And especially going back to last year with Jalen Smith, you don't want that to happen. And to his credit, I will say this. Jalen Smith, who now is a member of the Dallas Cowboys, had that awful injury last year. Someone asked him that same question this past week, and he stated that he would definitely go back and play in that bowl game again if given the opportunity to. Now, sometimes I think people say things but don't necessarily mean it. But I am perfectly fine with this.
It's kind of like the first year that I remember something like this happening, and I don't know, maybe somebody could cite an example of players sitting out in previous years, but this kind of strikes me as, and I know there's other people that agree with me there, that's kind of soft.
I think it's smart.
Get out there with your team.
If you're playing in the national championship Final Four, I think it's different. If you're a member of Alabama or Clemson and you're getting ready to compete for the national championship, you're in the Final Four, I think that's different than just playing in some sponsored bowl game where only the school is going to make the money. And this is what really kind of ticks me off a little bit. I saw a tweet from Ezekiel Elliott, the Dallas Cowboys starting running back, probably the rookie of the year this year, if not for his teammate Dak Prescott. he mentioned how he would love to go back and play with his brothers in one more bowl game. But keep in mind, this is the guy that left Ohio State early to go to the NFL.
Of course.
If you loved your brothers so damn much, then why aren't you still there playing with Ohio State this year? So
yeah, I'm not sure what that says to the university, the alumni, the fans of those football teams, Stanford and LSU. Nah, I'm not going to play. I'm just worried about myself. I'm not going to go out there with my team. Is he even going to be on the sidelines?
I don't think he is. I think he's staying behind to work out for the combine. But let me ask you this, Nigel. Let's say that's your son. Your son grows up and he's a quarterback, and he's the best quarterback in the country. He's projected to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and his college team makes a middle-of-the-pack bowl game. He's playing in the Foster Farms Bowl tonight. Do you want your son playing in that game?
Oh, that's so hard. That's such a tough – probably not.
That's what I'm talking
probably
about.
Probably not.
See, I think college is designed to get you ready for the next level, your employment. And if that's going to be playing on Sunday, and these guys are, it's not like these guys are kind of on the fence.
Well, if that's the case, if that's what college is designed for these football players, then, you know, they shouldn't get kicked out for cheating. If they're caught cheating, if they're caught, shirking the system or whatever, if that's the case, then just let them do their thing.
And let's be honest, if you're getting kicked off of a college football team that's at a major college university, you have to have gone above and beyond. For you to get kicked off of an SEC school, you must have killed a guy, because they let a lot of stuff fly under the radar. A lot of stuff. And it's not just certain schools. It's everywhere, from Notre Dame to Alabama to USC, everywhere and in between. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I'm surprised you say that, though, man, because you're a guy that's about, you know, there's no I in team, all about the team, and they're sitting out. You have no problem with it. Okay, the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
One of the things we've been doing this week while Chad Benson's on vacation, taking a look back at the year that was 2016. We're going to stay on the sports theme here for just a few minutes. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. I'm Nigel. That's Hammer over there. And, it was a huge year, especially with the Olympics, right?
Big year. A lot of things went on. We lost some all-time greats this past year. Muhammad Ali and Arnold Palmer both passed away. Now, look, say what you want about Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, whatever. Say what you want about his personal life, his, you know, draft dodging, whatever the case may be. The fact of the matter is, when the dude got in the ring, he probably was the greatest of all time. The same could be said about Arnold Palmer as well. So anytime there's a year where two of the greatest in the history of their sport pass away, it's kind of a big deal.
Anytime you have a drink named after you,
you've done something right.
That's going to be the Arnold Palmer drink. The mix is it half tea, half lemonade?
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a simple thing, but that's going to be around for the rest of humanity.
Right.
The Arnold Palmer is going to be around until way after we're gone.
Some all-time greats hung him up this past year, retired. Tim Duncan, retired. Kobe Bryant dropped 60 in his last game, retired. The great Vin Scully, longtime voice of the L.A. Dodgers, retired. And Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning retired at the age of 40, kind of riding off into the sunset after Denver won the Super Bowl.
It couldn't have been any better for Peyton, although some would argue that he had little to do with the actual win.
Yeah, he was a shell of his former self, but he went out in the most Peyton Manning way possible with a big win and shilling for a product.
obviously it's very special to cap it off with a Super Bowl championship. You know, I'll take some time to reflect. I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go kiss my wife and my kids. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight.
The eternal pitch man. That is Peyton Manning.
Was that the same? Didn't he kiss Papa John on the lips in that in the post celebration there on the field? Was that one a part of?
The dude is always on, always on.
But I could be wrong about that. Maybe he just had an awkward hug with Papa John at one moment in time.
But the fact that Papa John is anywhere near Peyton Manning right after a Super Bowl win tells you all you need to know. Another thing that I enjoyed was the run through the NCAA tournament. March Madness is one of my favorite things each and every year. And this year, the Final Four was great. The championship game, Villanova, North Carolina, came down to a final shot.
Trying to go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt. Jenkins gets it to Jenkins.
The confetti cannons are firing.
Jenkins hitting the winner at the buzzer.
Chris Jenkins of Villanova. And by the way, the confetti cannons right on point.
Boy.
As soon as that ball went through the net, boom goes the dynamite. The confetti came down. And Jenkins lives the dream of every kid playing basketball in their backyard. You know, clock is winding down. National championship game. Three ball is in the air. Got it for the win, and Villanova won the national championship. Another big story, maybe the biggest, I don't know, from 2016 was the return of the Summer Olympic Games.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Here come the Olympics. Here come the Olympics. Here come the Summer Olympics. There's super bacteria in the waters around Rio.
Okay.
There was a little concern about Rio in the Summer Olympic Games. The Zika virus was going around at this time. We kept hearing all these reports, Nigel, that the rooms were not ready for the Olympic Games and all this other stuff.
There's a concern of toilet paper shortage, right?
Yeah.
By super bacteria, they mean human feces. None for me, thanks. That gold medal ain't worth it, bro.
Now, normally in the Olympics, the big story is the United States basketball team, right? The dream team. They roll in there. They do their thing. They're the rock stars. This past year, that was not the case. I think the swim team from Team USA, they were the biggest stars there. Michael Phelps won a few more gold medals. He put Phelps' face all over the internet when he was getting ready for a race. Who was that jagoff that was like shadow boxing in front of him, too? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I totally remember that. Somebody trying to intimidate. Yeah, that's where the Phelps face came from.
Yeah, you don't tug on Superman's cape and you don't spit in the wind. Katie Ledecky kind of became the female version of Michael Phelps with her dominating performances.
Many of the fans here, 15,000 on their feet as Katie Ledecky, who set a world record of the 400 earlier in these games with a gold, will indeed get another gold medal in the 800 and the world record.
Oh, yeah, the 800 freestyle, yeah.
She was beating people so bad, like she was almost lapping people, like in the pool. It was almost like an Olympic athlete in the pool against you or I. It looked that bad. I mean, she was blowing the hell out of the competition, man, and good for her because she's young and she's going to be coming back. But honestly, my favorite moment of the Olympics came from this young freshman girl from Indiana University named Lily King. She kind of got into a war of words with this big, strong Russian swimmer, and she accused her of steroid use.
She didn't. Okay, Lily King. Yeah, she just addressed it. She didn't accuse her of anything. This Russian chick, Lefoma Fuller, I forget.
Yvonne Drago. We're just going to call her Yvonne Drago.
Here is Lily King before she wins 100-meter breaststroke, addressing her Russian competition's doping allegations.
Well, Lily, we saw you in the ready room, and you watched Yefimova, and she put up her number one, and you sort of went, what were the words that go with that gesture?
You know, you're shaking your finger number one, and you've been caught for drug cheating. I'm just not, you know, I'm not a fan, so.
So that Yefimova had been, like, doing the old finger wave
right,
for some reason, And Lily King called her out on the doping allegation.
Right.
It's good for her. She got some crap for that, too. People
she
think
did.
She should have shut her mouth on that. I happen to be opposite. The opposite. Yeah, I'm glad she called her out. And then here we go, Hammer. Lily King winning the 100-meter breaststroke.
Here comes Yefimova up on King's shoulder. Yefimova with 5 meters left trying to catch King. Right now, Lily King has the lead, and she's going to win. She did it! And Katie Martley gets the bronze.
Yeah, dude, that still jacks me up a little bit, man. That was my favorite moment of the Olympics. I was in my living room jumping up, yelling, because let's be honest, if we can throw political correctness out the window for just a little bit, the Olympics are better when you can hate the Russians.
Right?
The Olympics are better when you can hate the Russians. It was like watching Rocky IV in real life. It was that good. And Lily King, this young redheaded girl that goes to school at Indiana, taking on this big, strong, you know, Russian swimmer. And it was USA. It was Russia. It was good. I loved everything about that. That was my favorite moment of the Olympics. Nigel, your favorite moment was when Ryan Lochte lied to the police, right?
That was hilarious. That whole drama surrounding that was unbelievable. That's all those guys are going to be remembered for. All they're going to be remembered for, after all the success they had, Michael Phelps getting more records, more gold medals, it's Lochte and his M&M blonde hair urinating on the side of a gas station and all his buddies being detained while he kind of jetted off and escaped 10 hours earlier.
And he lost a lot of money in endorsements for a lie he didn't even need to make up. Just say you had to go, you went, you're sorry. Everything would have been swept under the rug, right?
Well, I think we've all been there. We've been drunk, looking for a place to relieve ourselves, Hammer. And he just got caught up in the wrong place, the wrong time. We've all been there. I'm not even going to tell this story. Go ahead. I was approached by some officers one time for doing exactly what he was doing. I was in America.
Right. So, which is better than being in Rio doing it. I get that. But still, you don't need to make up a fake fight story. Michael Phelps, you know, got busted with weed. And we still love Michael Phelps,
Everybody
right?
loves Michael Phelps.
He still got all of his endorsements back.
Yep.
The sports year kind of also had big comebacks involved. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, they were facing Golden State in the NBA Finals. The Warriors are fresh off the best record in the history of the NBA. They've got Steph Curry. They've got the Splash Brothers. They're up 3-1. And then LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and company come back from a 3-1 deficit and finally bring a championship to Cleveland. Now, any other year, that would be the top story, Cleveland getting to celebrate. But this past year, a 108-year curse was broken on the north side of Chicago when the Chicago Cubs, also down 3-1, came back to beat the Cleveland Indians.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all. 8-7-10.
You know, Hammer, I know you're the world's biggest Cubs fan. Tell everybody what you did middle of the night after the Cubs won the World Series. What was your reaction? What were you doing?
My family was asleep. People forget there was a long rain delay there. My family was asleep. My kids were asleep. My wife fell asleep. I ran outside with a couple beers and gave myself a beer shower in the front lawn of my house. And the next day, Nige, came to work, left for a long lunch.
Yeah.
I visited my grandfather's grave.
Right.
He was a big Cub fan. He got me into it.
Okay, so the love of the Cubs comes from your grandfather.
Yep. I sat down at Grandpa Hammer's grave. I brought him a beer.
Oh, wow.
We shared a beer. I put a Cubs hat on his grave, and we finally had that moment we had dreamed about our entire life.
Now, see, that's touching to me, but what you did by yourself in your underpants in your front yard, that doesn't make any sense at all.
108 years in the making. That was a phenomenal celebration.
You wasted two beers at 2 o'clock in the morning and dumped them on your head?
I had already drank 8.
Okay.
That was a stressful, stressful game for any Cub fan.
So the Cubs came back from a big deficit, and so did the Cavs. That's hardly ever happens in the world of sports.
Somebody
ever.
Gets up 3-1, usually that's lights out.
It's over.
And the Cubs had to do it on the road. The Cavs had to do it on the road. I mean, that's even better.
You wish the Cubs would have done it at home. That would have been even. That would have been if they had their chance, right? That I mean, Wrigleyville. They, God, you watch the footage of everybody outside Wrigley Field the moment the Cubs won. It was nuts. Had to have been like, you know, 500,000 people out there.
Again, for those people who are not baseball people or not Cub fans, you really don't understand how often we have dreamed of what it would be like if hell froze over and they actually did it. And the scene outside of Wrigley Field where there was no game taking place, everybody coming together. Yeah. That's why sometimes sports is way better than politics, because sports brings people together. That was pure joy on the north side of Chicago that
day. That was the year in sports. Coming up next, Chris Christie in the friend zone? It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel, in for Chad Benson. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. My name is Nigel, that's Hammer over there. Our Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel. The music playing right there is a great lead into this next story. Headline, Hammer, Chris Christie is in the friend zone.
He's in the Donald Trump friend zone.
What's going on?
So Chris Christie has been pretty loyal to Donald Trump. He was the first person really to go out of their way to be loyal to Donald Trump from the campaign. Christie dropped his own campaign the next day. Boom. He was all in and promoting the Donald. People thought it was kind of odd, but he's been loyal to Donald Trump. And I think Chris Christie did this in hopes that he would get some sort of high-rolling White House job in the event Donald Trump became the president. Well, guess what? Donald Trump became the president. He'll be taking the oath of office on January 20th. Yet Chris Christie still has no position in the Trump cabinet, and people are saying that he is now in the friend zone. Donald Trump loves him, but he's not in love with him. We've all been there before. And
absolutely, yeah.
Bless his heart, Chris Christie is still holding on to faith that Donald Trump's going to find some sort of spot for him in the White House.
So what's the problem? And then, I mean, he already took him out of the transition role.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But what's going on here behind the scenes that I'm not seeing?
You sound like every guy wondering why the prom queen won't go on a date with you. I'm good. I don't know why she won't give me the time of day. I don't know why she won't give me your phone number or return my messages. You're Chris Christie right now in that relationship. Maybe Donald Trump just wanted somebody to support him early on and has been dragging him around a little bit.
It's like the movie Just Friends.
Right.
With Amy Smart and Ryan Reynolds. Trump, Donald Trump is Amy Smart and Chris Christie is the fat Ryan Reynolds in Just Friends.
Right. I mean, it's almost kind of sad at this point because Chris Christie was a loud blowhard. You know, he didn't take any crap from anybody. He would be fun at the debates. And then he kind of just started piggybacking off of Donald Trump in hopes that he would get some sort of role or some sort of opportunity. And one job right after the other went away from Chris Christie.
Poor guy.
He's in the friend zone.
I know how he feels. I've been there.
Every guy has. There's not a guy listening to this show right now that at some point in their life haven't been in the friend zone.
Oh, my dear Lord. Emily, when I was 16.
One really?
One of my best friends, Emily. Oh, it's killed me. Killed me because she's really way more mature than any other guy in our class, and she always dated like the 23-year-olds with the beards.
The Ron Johnsons from the Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I've so been there. Her and I would go to the mall. We'd hang out. I'd buy her Burger King.
You'd go to the mall with her and buy her Burger King, and then she would go call her boyfriend.
That's when we were allowed in malls still. We didn't have to show our ID.
Right. There were no chaperones. You didn't have to show ID. But that's where Chris Christie's at right now. He goes to the mall with Donald Trump, and then Trump leaves after he's bought Chick-fil-A to go call Mike Pence. That's where they're at.
Did you have a quick update on the mall situation? There's a mall in, was this out of Sacramento?
Yep, this is out of Sacramento. And Sacramento is one of the places where they had some ruckus earlier this past week in the malls.
Can you describe the ruckus?
We've used that reference like 18 times this week.
I don't mind it.
Maybe three people get that. I don't know. But Sacramento is now making it so that teens have to have some sort of chaperone with them, somebody of legal age. The Arden Fair Mall is going to be using a new rule to limit mall brawls. Easy for me to say, mall brawls where unaccompanied minors have to have a minor with them, have to have a somebody of legal age with them.
What do they do if they don't? They're going to have somebody patrolling. Look, I'm all for that.
Right.
But are you just going to have security guards patrolling? Can I see your papers, please? How old are you?
Right. I'm going to need to see some ID. You're going to need to show me some ID before you go into that Von Maur, young man. And who's that with you?
Hey, look, I just saw them. I just saw they're doing the same thing in Philly. If you don't have your mom or dad with you, you're not of age, then you're not getting in this mall. We gave you a shot. Sorry about you. Better luck next time. Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.